Okay, what we finished up, in fact, Ted will have a copy of the syllabus Sunday for us. So you can pick one up on Sunday and we could follow where we're going to be. Tonight we are going to look at the Annunciation of the birth of John the Baptist to Zacharias. And another way you could call his name is Zachariah. Don't ask me why he has two names, but this is the way it is. I guess the Old Testament, since they didn't have the media as we do, they relate to names with different things. And we're going to see that in this particular class. Also, we're going to discuss the announcement of the birth of Jesus to Mary, and that is in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. I also put together some slides about parallel annunciations between Zacharias and Mary, and there's a couple of differences we'll talk about. We also are going to look at Mary's visit to Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. And then John the Baptist is born in Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 66. And Zacharias, and I'm stuck here. Hold on a second. Zacharias' prophecy concerning Jesus and John in Luke chapter 1, verse 67 through 80. And then again, we're going to finish up with the Annunciation to Joseph about Jesus' birth. And that's found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. With that, let's open up our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. And can I get a volunteer to read the first 10 verses, please?
The first how many?
First 10, 5 through 15.
In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside.
Okay, can I get someone to read from 16 to 25, please?
Is that the fifth chapter?
Chapter 1, verse 5, yes, verse 16.
And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepaid for God. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this for certain? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my word, which shall be fulfilled in the proper time. And the people were waiting for Zacharias when they, and were wondering what at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen the vision in the temple, and he kept making them signs and remained mute. And it came about when the days of his priestly service ended that he went back home. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in these days, when he looked with favor upon me to take away the disgrace among men."
Thank you very much, ladies. We see that the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah. And first of all, in the first verses 5 through 7, we see that there was a guy who was a king. His name was Herod. What do we know about Herod?
This is a bad guy.
He was really terrible.
He was terrible. What tribe did he come from? He was an Edomite.
A trick question.
No, no. That's not a trick question. And he was a Jewish proselyte. And his family, as we know, was terrible. And we know from reading the Old Testament that God stopped talking to his people. 400 years. And now all of a sudden, we see that God sends a messenger, an angel, to communicate his will. Zacharias was one of the priests from the division of Abijah. I hope I said that right. I think Vicky said that better than me. But when we look at it, David had set this up so that there were 24 divisions or bodies or courses. Those divisions of families were responsible for the duties at the temple. So every twice a year, they had to go wherever they were from their homes to the temple and take part in doing the priestly duties. Elizabeth, she was also from the lineage of Aaron. He came from the brothers of Aaron. And both these people, Zacharias and Elizabeth, were righteous in the sight of God. And they walked blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. So they were good people who were trying to worship God. And we find out in verse 7 that they didn't have any children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. So as Zacharias was in the temple performing his duties, they drew lots, and he was picked in verse 9 to enter the temple and burn incense. This was an honor. A lot of people don't get to do that. The priests weren't able to do that, so they drew lots, and it fell upon Zacharias. And what happened in the reading?
Angel came.
An angel came. And what was Zacharias' reaction to the angel?
Fear gripped him.
Exactly. He was afraid. What happened? What is, in this vision, this angel appeared to me. What does he want? So we see that God honored Zacharias and Elizabeth with a son named John, the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah. In verses 13 through 17, after the angel reassured Zacharias, he said, "Zacharias, your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." And he will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. For he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to walk in the wisdom of the righteous and to make a people prepared for the Lord. So John had a responsibility, and that was to be the forerunner of Jesus. And we see in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, the prophet Malachi says, "Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." This is the Lord talking to Malachi. And we know in the third chapter, and Faye, can I get you to read that for me, please? Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, please.
Okay. Malachi 3, 1 through 4.
Starting with verse 1.
Okay. "Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years."
Thank you, Faye. So we see that the Lord promised he'll send somebody as a forerunner, and that messenger is John the Baptist. And we get back to our story in verse 18. Zacharias didn't believe the angel. And what happened to him?
He couldn't talk anymore.
And you could just imagine what happened at the temple after he came out. And the people saw that he couldn't talk. They must have said he had a vision. And they don't know what happened to him. He couldn't bless them. He couldn't help them. He couldn't offer prayer with them. He just couldn't talk. Because why? Oh.
His trouble is on.
Unbelief.
Well, he, unbelief.
Yeah, he questioned.
He questioned God's messenger.
With just a simple word, you know. How will I know?
Exactly.
But I'm old, he said.
But it's not a simple... I don't, how do I know? Because there's the example of the man who told God, "If this is what you want, make the ground wet and the sheepskin dry." And then the next night he asked to have it just the reverse. So he was asking, "Do I have your blessing? Is this really what you want me to do?" So you can ask God something. It's whether your heart is truly inquiring, or whether you're going, no, that's not what I think is going on. Yeah.
But you know, when you look at Zechariah, he was very intelligent. He was a priest. He understood scripture, but he forgot about the foreshadows of the miracles before him. Abraham and Sarah, who had Isaac, Genesis chapter 18, verses 8, 9 through 15. Also, Manoah and his wife. Who the heck is he? Well, they gave birth to Samson in Judges chapter 13, 1 through 14. And then again, we look at Elkanah and Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 through 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. The birth of Samuel. So, he didn't remember what God's miracles were before, and he was struck down. And after Zechariah completed his duties, he returned home. Now Elizabeth, she kept herself secluded for 5 months. Why do you think she did that?
Form of sanctification. A form of sanctification?
Yeah. What else?
I just thought maybe it was because of her, that she just felt like people would really question her and wonder. I mean, she was old, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I don't think she really wanted that quite yet to be.
I think she went away to meditate and to dwell on the fact that God had given her a gift of a son who is going to play a role in God's plan. And we also see that she praised God later. After 6 months, she went out and showed herself to others, and she was with child. And she gave God the glory. Carol?
Yeah, it's, as you say, it's so special for her. And she doesn't want anybody questioning as to whether she really is pregnant or whatever. She wants to revel in this gift from God.
Exactly.
And to not have anybody else deny it or make it small.
And you know, it's really interesting. When we read the text, we see that she accepted God's plan, whereas Zacharias did. Now we'll jump over to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And can I get a volunteer to read that? That's the Annunciation of Jesus' birth to Mary. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Thank you very much. So we see that the angel went to this town called Nazareth. He didn't go to Jerusalem, which was their center. He went to a small town which was unknown. And rather than greet Mary with the word shalom, which means
peace
be with you, he says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." So there was something special about Mary. And this angel, who was Gabriel, greeted her and recognized she found favor with the Lord. And he told her, "Don't be afraid." And he told her that you will conceive, you will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. And Gabriel said, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. So that's what we see in the first several verses of this reading. And Mary's response starts with verse 34. He said, how can this be? I'm still a virgin.
How is that different from what Zacharias said? Because Zacharias could have said, how can this be? I am an old man. I mean, he could have said the same thing. Would he? So, I mean, I read the little blurb that said uh-huh. was in there that the reason was is because she was favored and that she wasn't really asking. How did they say it? She wasn't really not sure, but I don't know. Like, how can this be? Like,
okay.
Had Zechariah said that same thing, would he still not have?
Well, Zechariah was praying for years to have a child. And the angel came to him and said, look, God heard your prayers. He doubted, just like Abraham and Sarah. They doubted God because they were old. How could they produce a child in their old age? Zacharias had the same attitude. But Mary, she said to the angel, look, I'm a virgin. In human terms, how does someone get a child? And she was just trying to convey to the angel, I wasn't with a man, so how can I become pregnant? In the next verse, the angel explains. He says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. You can just imagine what's going on in Mary's mind. How can this happen to me? I wasn't with any man, but God's going to take care of it through the Holy Spirit. That's the difference between the two.
Yeah, she's not denying that God could do it. She's just saying, how?
Yeah.
It's the difference of the heart. She's inquiring, whereas we can't read the heart of God, but God can read our hearts.
In verse 29, it says that she was greatly troubled.
Yeah. This is something totally new for her.
This is,
To me, it felt like they're saying the same thing, so it's got to be completely their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing their heart, it can't be anything. To me, in my mind, it can't be anything.
And you're totally right.
Completely their heart. Now, was Zechariah, him not talking, was that a punishment?
That was
on his unbelief.
His unbelief.
That was a punishment.
Yeah.
And he had been praying. It said he had prayed for
children. Right. They both had.
But Mary probably hadn't even thought too much about that yet.
Yeah. We have to understand, too, that Zechariah was in his old age. So he's had a lifetime of experience and a lifetime of disappointment. By the same token, how old is Mary? She's in her teens.
Yeah.
Very, very young. Hasn't had any experience. Doesn't even hardly know what life's about.
And when you think about the situation, the angel Gabriel told Mary in this reading that, hey, your relative, Elizabeth, is pregnant.
Well, and this says, when Zacharias said, how shall I know this? This says down here that he asked for a sign, and that showed a lack of faith
mm-hmm.
in him.
Exactly.
I hadn't thought of that. I
got a sign.
But when you think about Mary, Gabriel told her, hey, look, your relative is pregnant, and she's older than you, and she was barren. It must have sparked something in Mary. She said she's 6 months pregnant. So here's a teenage girl who God had given a baby to. Who is she going to turn to? She turned to a relative, Elizabeth. Some people say Elizabeth was a cousin. I don't know where they get that other than tracing the lineage. But in my Bible, it says relative. I looked at the Greek, and the word is not cousin, it's relative. They're related somehow. So here's a young teenager going to her relative for comfort and concern, and to find out, hey, what happened to you? How can you be pregnant at your age?
They had a lot to talk about.
I'm sure.
A lot.
So what lessons can we learn from Mary's attitude?
She said, okay, that's the way it is. After Gabriel explained it.
She had a submissive heart. And that's what we as Christians should do. Submit to God's will. And also, she had an attitude of serving God in whatever capacity he has put forth for her. And she was going to do that. So when you look at Zacharias' announcement and Mary's announcement, they're similar, with the exception in verse 1 of chapter 1, verse 18, Zacharias was perplexed and asked the angel, how will I know that this is so? In verse 38, Mary says she was perplexed and accepted her role and said, Here I am, Lord. She decided to dedicate her life to whatever God wanted her to do. And she did. Now, hold on, let's look at Mary's visit to Elizabeth. And that's found in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. Can I get a volunteer to read those verses, please?
And behold, now at this time Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to the city of Judea, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, you want me to keep going?
Yes, go over down to 56, please.
Oh, okay. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home.
Thank you very much, Kristen. So we see that there's a number of things in this passage that we should be concerned about. We should recognize that Mary had faith that Elizabeth would welcome her. Here's a relative of hers, and she's now a teenager, and she's pregnant. If you talk to anyone in the world, they'll say, well, you were with someone. But that didn't happen. So she relied on her relative. And Elizabeth had faith that God sent Mary to her for a reason. What do you think that reason is? Now there's a connection between the Old Testament, what Malachi said concerning John, and Jesus. And what is that?
John's first.
He's the forerunner of Jesus. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, what did the baby do?
It jumped.
So there's a connection between John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of Jesus, and he was going to be the Elijah of the day to encourage people to turn away from their sins. And that's what he was preaching and teaching. Yes, Carol.
In verse 41, it says, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So this Holy Spirit, Elizabeth, is going to prophesy. And she's going to prophesy and say, I know that you are pregnant with the one who is to come after, with the Jesus. Mm-hmm. I know that this is from God. And that's not what Mary would have gotten if she'd stayed in Jerusalem and in Nazareth.
Exactly.
That she would have gotten just the opposite.
And just think, when we go through this text, we see that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John, and Mary stayed there for how many months?
Three.
So that's a term for a baby. So she was probably there when John the Baptist was born. And it's funny that she had decided to go into the hill country to see Zacharias and Elizabeth. And she must have journeyed by herself, and it could have been disastrous for her, but the Lord would have. So, as Carol said, that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so was John. We read in chapter 1, verse 15, the angel Gabriel said he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Elizabeth showed compassion, showed joy, and she showed honor to Mary, the mother of the Lord. In verses 42 to 45, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is such an honor mine that, why is it such an honor mine that the mother of the Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is he who believed, for there shall be brought to pass all that was told to her before the Lord. Again, Mary displayed her faith and willingness to do what the Lord had said. And now she's with her relative Elizabeth, and they are together for 3 months talking about things. And it's really interesting when you think about Elizabeth realizing, look what happened to my husband. He was struck dumb because he didn't believe. God works in mysterious ways. And this is one of the ways he is sharing with these two individuals his plan to save mankind. And we look at it, we talked about this many times. God had this plan before the creation that he will send his son down because he knew we will all sin. And Mary shows her thanks in a song from verses 46 through 56. And it's called the Magnificat. It's similar to Hannah's song when Samuel was born in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. She says, "My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has looked upon favor upon the humble state of his bond slave. For all generations will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." And that is taken from Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. "His mercy is on those who fear him." Again, from the Psalms 103, verse 17. "He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered the proud. He cast down the mighty from their thrones. He has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things." Psalms 107, verse 9. "God has sent away the rich empty-handed. He has helped Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, even as he promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." Again, Mary uses scripture to help her in conveying what she felt to the Lord. Something that should remind us that we should look to see what God expects from us when we pray and how we pray. So Mary must have been very happy, overjoyed, and she listened to her older relative. And Mary was blessed indeed. What an honor it must have been for her, this young individual. Now we're going to come later on, and we're going to see some things happen in the life of her. So, one of the questions I had on my sheet, this is not a trick question. Who was the angel that announced the birth of John to Zechariah?
Gabriel.
And who was the angel that announced the birth of Jesus to Mary?
Same.
Now, who was the angel who announced the birth of Jesus to Joseph? Trick question. We'll get to that answer later. So now we see that, just think about that for a minute. Now we see that the child is born to Elizabeth. And let me get my... We'll start reading from verse 37 through 66, 57 to 66 in Luke. "Now the time has come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But the mother answered and said, 'No, indeed, but he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name.' And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, 'His name is John.' And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, He began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. And who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. So we see Elizabeth in the, gave birth in verse 57, and his neighbors were rejoicing with her, and they were at the circumcision. And the neighbors and the relatives decided, well, his name should be Zacharias. And we see that Elizabeth said, his name is John. Why do you think she said that?
Because that's what the angel told him that he would be called.
Right, what verse is that in?
What's that?
What verse is that in?
Wasn't that in, right here in Luke 1:13. And
exactly.
Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John.
Exactly. And that's what we as Christians...
No, but Zacharias went home and told her all about what, well, not really, but I think wrote it all down.
Yeah.
And told her. It's a nice game of charades there. But, yeah.
And what did the relatives and the friends say?
No.
No, they were Elizabeth.
I said, nobody in your family is called John, so
she didn't have to find out.
Lucky God didn't slap them on the side for a while.
But it's interesting. Zacharias wrote on this tablet, his name is John. He didn't say his name will be John. He said his name is John. He remembered what the angel told him. He remembered he told his wife Elizabeth, somehow, with charades or whatever. But when he had written his name on the tablet, they all marveled, and immediately Zacharias' mouth was open, his tongue loose, and he began to speak, praising God. And fear came upon everyone around him. They remembered Zacharias couldn't talk. Now he could. Another miracle. Credit to God. And then this question, and what indeed will this child be? What is his role in life? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now we're going to jump into Zechariah's prophecy. And can I get someone to read Luke chapter 1, verses 66 through 80, please?
And all who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy towards our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sun rises from on high shall visit us, and to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel.
Thank you very much, Di. So we see that is Zacharias, after he had written the name of John on the tablet, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is in verse 67. His wife was filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 41. And the child was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 15 of chapter 1. And Zacharias goes on and talks about Jesus, who is the Redeemer. So we don't have time to go into the different covenants that God had made with Abraham, Moses, David. But he promised them that they will be redeemed. And they believed God. They didn't have Jesus or all these scriptures that we have, but they believed in God and his word. Now here's Zacharias going back to those covenants and saying, look, God fulfilled them in this Jesus. He goes on to say in verse 69 that he will raise up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. The horn is a symbol for strength and power. That's a picture of Jesus. He will bring salvation in strength, might, and power. And God is showing mercy and deliverance as God keeps his covenant that he made with Abraham. If you were there, you could understand that him being an Israelite that knew the covenants, knew the scriptures, and now the Lord is fulfilling that now in his time. And don't forget, God didn't talk to his people for 400 years between the Testaments. And now we see that he's communicating to the people through his messengers and angels, Gabriel, and explaining that now's the time. These people, John, and the whole most holy one, and that is Jesus, are going to be coming on the scene. And he goes on to talk about that, about how Jesus is going to overcome the spiritual forces of darkness and evil. And God being loyal and faithful, showing the love to his people and keeping his word will deliver them, and also Gentiles too. We see in his speech, in his prophecy from verse 76 through 79, he talks about his son John and what is the expectation for him. He said, what is he going to do? Well, John is going to go before the Lord to prepare the people. The Lord is coming and it is time to get ready. John will go and preach, teaching the people about salvation and the forgiveness of sins that is coming. And the salvation comes because of God's tender mercy to his people. We see in verse 79, the sunshine shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Who's he talking about? Exactly, the Lord is coming. And that's John's job to prepare the people. To say, hey, there's someone greater than I coming, and that is Jesus. And he concludes in his prophecy that the Lord continued to grow and become strong in spirit. And he will live in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. And that comes when he's about 30 years old. So when you think about God's plan, throughout the ages, he's fulfilling it now.
Is that John?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then my sense to go to Luke 2:40, and it repeats that same thing, and the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So, I guess, yes, that's John, and then they also said that of Jesus when he was 12.
Well, we'll get to that later on in our study. But now he's talking about John, who has just been born, and Jesus is not born yet. Now here comes the next announcement, and that's to Joseph about the birth of Jesus. Can I get someone to read that particular account in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, please, to 25?
Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found a child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you, Eileen. So we see that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And what is that betrothal? How does that work back in the day?
Same as marriage, except for you had to get to know one another for a year.
Yeah, it took about 12 months in the betrothal process. And now he's going to go back to Joseph and say, hey, look, I'm with child. And she said that she was with child with the Holy Spirit. Remember that question I asked about who announced?
Yeah, I don't think it says.
Huh?
I don't think it names Gabriel.
No, it don't.
Just says an angel.
Just says an angel. And that's the point I was trying to make, that we see that in the other two accounts, the name was Gabriel. The angel was Gabriel. In this account, the angel's not named. So we shouldn't assume it was Gabriel. It's just an angel. Very good point with that. So what was Joseph's reaction to this news that Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit? What did he want her to do?
He said he wanted to put her away.
Wanted to put her away. Why?
She was pregnant. He didn't really understand that right then, I guess, until he was told.
He wanted to save his family's name. Here's a lady who he's betrothed to that has a baby. And she claims it was by the Holy Spirit. How could this be? He's a human. He understands the process of having a baby. So he falls asleep and the angel appears to him and says, hey, the Lord, Joseph, the son of David, do not fear. to take Mary your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the angel explains to Joseph in a vision, while he was sleeping, that the Holy Spirit came into Mary, and you're going to call him Jesus. And where do we get that from? Why should he name him Jesus?
Because it's like Emmanuel, God with us?
Yeah. We have to go back to the scriptures. Back to Luke chapter 1, verse 31. What does the angel say to Mary? Call him Jesus. And that's important to go back and forth to see what transpired here. So he had every right to put her away, but he followed the angel's instruction. And
so putting her away meant divorce, is that?
Divorce her. Put her away privately, secretly. But he didn't. He took her as a wife, as his wife.
But if it had become public, then she would have been stoned because nobody would have believed the prophecy.
Exactly. So what Joseph did, he did an honorable thing. He took her as his wife, and he didn't have any relations with her until after Jesus was born. So he respected what the angel told him, respected Mary, and also was honored to be her husband for this child. We see, yeah.
You may have explained this while I was reading this, so I apologize if you did. Help me understand that in verse 18, Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. And then in verse 19, they call Joseph her husband.
Okay. What? She was betrothed to Joseph. That means that's going to be a husband. That's what the law said. If you're betrothed to someone, that's going to be your husband.
That arranged marriage.
For 12 months.
For 12 months,
no ring.
They weren't supposed to
have relations.
But after that, they have relations.
But at that time that they're betrothed, they are husband and wife.
Right.
It's not like we do it now. It's, you know, supposedly ahead of time.
It's not an engagement.
No.
Exactly. It's different.
It's actually marriage.
So Joseph didn't put her away. In fact, if we go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we read, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And that was prophesied by Isaiah 700 years prior. And Joseph rose from his sleep and did what the angel had commanded and took her as his wife. He didn't have any relations with her until after Jesus was born. So we see that Jesus is both divine and human. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we read, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, we see, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, referring to Jesus, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. So, in God's plan, he put forth promotions with people. And these people were faithful. Something that we should emulate in our lives today. Any questions?
when Joseph woke up. Is that like woke up from a nap?
He was sleeping. He was sleeping.
Okay.
And he had a vision with the angel.